So they know the good colleges from the bad colleges. So the network allows them to take that decision in a wiser way. So if they take a wise decision, banks, of course, are going to fund it. However, a student who is, let's say, from a lesser known college, let's say a college where alumni are not going to the best of the best colleges out there, they are going to be guided by hearsay, social media, advertisements, sometimes agents, sometimes counselors who are not as effective, and hence bad choices get made. And that is where the financing problem kind of starts to creep in on these decisions that students take.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors and businesses and professionals who are disruptors yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures and agonies and ecstasy, and of course, the little joys of life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Aman Singh, co-founder of GradRite Inc., the world's first EdFinTech, AI-powered SaaS ecosystem that brings together prospective students, universities, and lenders on a single platform to democratize higher education through better access, affordability, and tech-enabled guidance. GradRite is also home to the education loan bidding platform FundRite. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Aman. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. And we are delighted to be on this very special program and to have this opportunity to share our ideas and journey.
You know, Aman, let me start off with a very basic question, but that is kind of a trend that we have been noticing now. Let's look at the 2023 numbers. 2023 saw a significant, a very sharp 35% jump in the number of Indian students going overseas for education, with the total number pegged at a record 2.69 lakh per data from the Open Doors 2023 report on international educational exchange. What does this signify? How do you read these numbers, Aman?
I think it reflects two major fundamental truths and now trends of our higher education system and our country's economy. Number one, there is a demand for quality, an increasing demand for quality with respect to the colleges that students want to go to. There is the number of students who are ready to go to college is only increasing year on year. However, the domestic gross enrollment ratios haven't gone up to the same extent, which means the provision of number of seats, quality institutions, is unable to meet the demand from students. Hence, students looking for quality and families wanting quality education for their kids, they have to look outside. So that's one major trend. The second is there is the increasing income of the middle class and the aspirations of the middle class to not only have a great career for their children in India in the top jobs here, but now they think about global careers. They want their children to be like Sundar Pichais and Satya Nadellas. And they believe that if they could get them started on a track of international education, they'll have a chance at greatness, at a great global kind of career. I think these two factors are at play that seems to be pushing up the number of students planning to go outside India?
You know, if you look at the data from the Ministry of External Affairs, it shows that there were more than a lakh of Indian students in each of the following four countries: the United States, Canada, Australia, and the UAE. Why is there such a high preference among Indian students for these countries, Aman?
I think there is no question that of the four countries that you have listed, two of them, US and Canada, they have an immense amount of depth in their higher education systems. Universities that are hundreds of years old, they have departments that have the breadth and the depth of expertise. So these countries offer a very rich, research-driven sometimes, ecosystems for our students. So if somebody wants a really high quality of education, then these two countries default. Of course, UK can also be added in the same bucket. They become the preferred destinations for students who are seeking quality. The second trend that kind of is emerging now is students going to Australia, UAE, and Ireland, and so on. These countries, while their higher education systems may not be as comparable to the US and Canadian systems, they offer a very friendly environment for post-graduation employment opportunities, which means students find it easy to get jobs, repay their loans, and potentially think of settling there. These are great countries for anyone in the world to potentially think of migrating to, both from a lifestyle perspective and you know what they can assure in terms of future for their next generation. So these two factors, essentially higher education systems and employability opportunities, are really essentially driving the demand for, let's say, these institutions in these countries.
Aman, what are the major financing issues that Indian students face in getting funds for overseas education, Aman?
I think I must add that the trend towards increasing number of students going abroad is actually fueled by easier availability of financing. So financing institutions, both banks and non-banking ones, have stepped up in a very significant way to make available more products, more loans, and so on and so forth, to ensure that students are not stranded for financing reasons. However, there is a huge problem of access. Students in tier two, tier three towns do not have access to all the banks in their vicinity. As you know, the smallest of our towns and cities in India, they probably just have one or two government institutions, government financing institutions, and they have significant restrictions on how they can finance, how much they can finance, and so on. And studying abroad is a costly affair, which means the quantum of loans in terms of the amount, ticket sizes, is quite high, which means a lot of public institutions are unable to fulfill that because of their kind of overarching regulatory structures. Collaterals in these towns don't add up to that much, like 60 lakhs, 1 crores, 2 crores, if that is the kind of cost we are looking at. So public institutions, public financing institutions, I mean, they struggle to fulfill the financing needs of students in these smaller towns and cities of our country. The good, innovative private financing institutions, they don't have the same access that public institutions have. So students in these places are unable to reach these institutions. A lot of new age companies, which are willing to step away from the collateral-backed loans to unsecured loans, they may not have access to these students. So they are looking for high-potential, high-performing students, and they would love to fund them, provided they can reach out to them. And students like these would benefit a lot if they could reach out to these more innovative, new-age financing institutions. But because of an absence of channel, or an absence of access, so to say, the transaction does not happen. So that's one. The second is, a lot of times students end up making poor choices in terms of the choice of college they would like to go abroad for in terms of their undergrad or postgrad education. If a good student, so to say, let's say from either a tier one minus or even a tier two plus college, has made a bad choice because of either misinformation or poor guidance. And if the choice has been made badly, the challenge is banks cannot fund such a student. So sometimes poor choices of college actually becomes a restriction for our financing institutions to make a good loan for them. So if I summarize that, the second major point is around making poor choices of college that makes for poor financing. Overall, limited access to financing, poor decision-making on college choices leads to financing issues for Indian students.
Absolutely. You know, that's probably the reason why it is easy to fund a student from the IITs, but difficult for those from tier two and tier three colleges, isn't it, Aman?
That's right. I think banks, unfortunately, get restricted in financing a student if the student is either not from a great college, does not have a great academic background, does not have the great, let's say, a solid financial background, and if he or she has not made the right choice of college. Now, IITs offer a very interesting environment. Their seniors, alums, have all gone to these a set of good colleges. So they know the good colleges from the bad colleges. So the network allows them to take that decision in a wiser way. So if they take a wise decision, banks, of course, are going to fund it. However, a student who is, let's say, from a lesser known college, let's say a college where alumni are not going to the best of the best colleges out there, they are going to be guided by hearsay, social media, advertisements, sometimes agents, sometimes counselors who are not as effective, and hence bad choices get made. And that is where the financing problem kind of starts to creep in on these decisions that students take.
You know, Aman, GradRight says that it aims to connect students with foreign universities and at the same time with lending institutions, as well as to secure the required funding. Help us understand this. How does this work, Aman?
The starting premise is that if students select the right kind of college, then financing can happen at the right cost in the right manner. Often, selection is considered independent of financing. That means students go about finding a college through friends, networks, social media, online platforms, and so on and so forth, not thinking about whether these choices are even fundable by banks. They, in fact, make up their mind 1 year in advance, start preparing for these exams like SAT, GRE, GMAT. They go through the whole application process, spend a lakh and a half in applying to these colleges, and let's say they get a few admit offers from these colleges. It is then that they go out looking for financing. And if those choices are not even fundable by banks, then the entire effort of 1 year is gone waste. In fact, their whole money that they spent looking for these colleges is now also gone. Now, in a last minute scramble, they end up going to any financing institution who is just willing to give them money at any interest rate or whatever the terms be. So they make desperate decisions of financing, eventually leading to an undue burden of loans and poor terms. Sometimes their whole family property, their land, their apartments, their houses are all mortgaged. All starts because a bad choice has been made. So our insight is that if students make better choices, which are fundable choices, then even before they have applied to the colleges, they are assured that they will be able to get these loans in the right manner at the right cost. They, in fact, end up saving a lot of money if they make the right choices versus the wrong choices. There's also another factor at play. that if students are thinking of going abroad and they have not thought about the possible solutions that exist out there, sometimes they actually opt out of the plan even without exploring whether it is possible or not. For example, a student who comes from a very humble background, an average student goes to a tier 2 private college in Delhi. If you were to ask him, would you like to study abroad for your master's? The first reaction that you get from the student is that, oh no, that is not possible. My parents make around 20-25,000 rupees as monthly salary. We are barely able to take care of the college fees here. I don't think we can afford higher education outside India for my master's. And then the student, even if he or she is doing very well, let us say he or she is getting an 8.5, 9, 9.5 on a 10-point scale in the college, all that the student thinks about is this job. Even though the person could have a phenomenal disposition for a top master's program, he or she has opted out of the race even before he or she could start it. So I think a lot of students who are great candidates for studying abroad actually opt out without even knowing it. I come from a small town, and I was studying in a school in Delhi for my plus two. All I knew was IITs and these, colleges in India where you have to go and study engineering and you'll probably get a job after that. And one of my colleagues in this school said that, I'm planning to take SAT and I'm planning to go outside India. I felt, maybe this guy does not feel like he's capable enough to go to IIT. And going abroad is for, let's say, lesser mortals or people who are less capable. But guess what? He was more informed than I was. He took SAT. It is definitely not as difficult as IIT. He went to Cornell, studied a fantastic program there, went to Harvard University, did his business school, runs a $40 billion fund today. He just had a different sense of the world. He just knew that higher education abroad is better for, let's say, if you can fund it somehow. While I was just obsessed with studying in India in an engineering program. Similarly for masters, a lot of times people just don't know that you can actually have the best education in the world and you don't need to just restrict yourself because your family seems to not have the money for it.
Aman, just to understand, how does the business model work? Do you charge from students, from banks, and also from universities to which you are helping Indian students secure admission?
So it's free for students. Nothing is charged at all. We get our revenues from banks because when they disburse loans to students, a certain part accrues to us as commissions for that disbursement. We also get universities to pay us for you to explore what kind of students they would like to reach out to and then to actually connect with these students. So the platform allows universities to market themselves directly to students without the need of an intermediary. So they get to pitch their best story to students, to the students who are uniquely matched to them. And for that, marketing as a service on the platform, they pay us money. That's the way we have been making money so far. There are other interesting ways to monetize the platform and the ecosystem, but in no circumstances do we imagine charging the student any penny for finding out which college they should go to or how they should get their finances organized.
Absolutely. Just to understand, what is the kind of traction you're seeing on a platform, both in terms of students that have used your platform to get their funding and also secure admission? So in terms of universities, in terms of number of students, and also the value of loans that you have facilitated, Aman?
So last year, which is a calendar year 23, we saw close to, I would say, 75,000 students benefit from the platform. This year, that number looks like 1.5 to 1.75 lakh students kind of using the platform in multiple ways that suits them. In terms of the loans disbursed via our platform, we don't have our own loan book. We have helped students get around, I would say, this year, calendar year, around 1,500 crores of loans have been disbursed via the platform. However, the most exciting part about our platform is to just tell you how we have made it possible for students from the smallest of towns and cities to use these services. Last year, close to $1 billion, which is around 8,500 crores of loan requests, which means a fully loaded loan application, came onto our platform. So that shows that students are looking for loans. We just need enough and more financing institutions to meet the demand that is waiting to be met by them. So that's really to give you a sense of the scale.
Absolutely. Final question, Aman. You know, tell us a bit more about your overseas expansion plan. When do you intend to be present in the EU, the UK, and other geographies, Aman?
So we are definitely planning to launch the platform in a domestic environment of a foreign country this year. The choice has to be made between those 3-4 countries where we believe that the domestic markets are also in need of such a platform. So we'll, of course, be starting with one domestic market of a destination country where Indian students have been going. The second is to launch this platform in the South Asian, one of our South Asian countries, where students from, let's say, this particular country are like India, like Indian students going abroad for higher studies. So you want to showcase the scalability of the platform in both the destination market and the source market outside India. We will do both these things as early as June of this year and September of this year.
Great to hear that, Aman. And thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us and sharing your deep insights and perspective on a variety of issues concerning Indian students, their aspirations to study overseas, and also how to organize funding and the gaps that exist and the kind of problems that you're trying to solve. Thank you so much, Aman.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you for your time and attention to our work and our mission.